to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Good morning, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is a pre-recorded interview for February 7th, 2017. And before I dive into a very unique interview, I don't think I've done one quite like this before, I just want to share a little bit about all of the goings-ons and the intel that's coming in. Everybody is getting very excited, and at the same time, there's a lot of angst on the planet about our future and our ascension path. And so one thing I want to remind everyone is you are part of that ascension path, meaning how you think is what we are going to create. This is so crucial right now. We really must take time to look at our thoughts, take responsibility for where they're taking us and what they may be recreating. I really got a strong message this morning. I needed to share that with everyone. So be advised that there is an immense amount, I mean, immense amount of work that has been done for all of us. Do not forget to ask every single day that you allow and receive all the healing that is being done for you, all the aspects of your being and your lineage. Say it is done and thank you. Okay, that's it. Every single day, don't forget a day to do that. That's how much upgrade work is being done. That's how much healing work is being done for every single living being on this planet, including our elementals. So, felt really strongly I had to share that with you. Now, I am honored. I have been introduced to Stash through a mutual friend who I love, David Almeida, and I feel very strongly about this. This is really, in my opinion, something that will pave the way for a future of other activities that will follow this. Stash just happens to be, and of course Troy, his co-founder, they just happen to be the trailblazers for this event, and it's called the Global Freedom Fest. Now, if you're anything like me, you're going to get pretty excited when you hear about this, because it's, I equate it to the 21st century metaphysical Woodstock in a way. It's really a phenomenal idea, and I kind of want to dive in to let everybody know what's involved, how it came about, when it's going to take place, if he already has that locked in, and who he needs, what kind of assistance he needs. And of course, Galactic Connection is going to support him on an advertising level as much as we possibly can. This is no small feat. This is a huge undertaking, one in which Stash and Troy are going to need massive amounts of support. Guess what this means for all of you out there that feel you haven't really provided enough, you haven't stepped out and taken action enough, and you're more of the art sector of society. Maybe you're into dance, music, sculpture, painting, art of any sort. This is such a perfect avenue for you to really step out and get yourself known to the world. I felt compelled because we are all focusing on unity. So I want to welcome Stash and Troy, and thank you both for coming today. I feel very honored. This is an exciting, to me, I just looked at it like, wow, this is 21st century Woodstock, in a way. Hopefully without all the cops and the raids and all that stuff that went down. But that's what I heard. I was too young to go. But anyway, they refer to Global Freedom Fest as a worldwide celebration of the inherent, unalienable freedom given to every man, woman, and child on the planet at birth by their creator. How much cooler can you get? And what I'd like to start out with, Stash, is first of all, can you tell everybody a little bit about your background? Because you yourself are a musician.
Well, I've been an entertainer I started playing the harmonica when I was 19 years old. A couple of Navy buddies gave it to me. Both of my parents were degreed musicians who went sort of the other way. My father went into technical work, and my mother went into basically legal business secretarial work. And I started out as a technician and really got tired of fixing other people's broken stuff and decided, well, since I can do this, I have talent, I might as well be what I was called to be, which is an entertainer, which goes beyond being just a musician. I went and I studied acting, dance, music theory. I wanted to learn everything about the entertainment business I could do. So I got in entertainment law, small business management, all of the things that I needed to know, because so many of my friends who were musicians were getting taken by agents and record companies and what. And I figured I was not going to be one of those, and I was not going to allow my friends to be taken either if I had anything to do with it. So that was somewhere around 14,000 shows ago.
Wow. And
I have done everything from being a truck loader to stagehand, promoter, lighting tech, sound tech, stage builder, rigger, any job, every job. I had to know those jobs and spent a lot of time as a stage manager, being the gracious host most of the time and being the real creep when they got out of line. So I learned to be real good at that. I hated that part of my job. And a while back I put a band together. I moved to Portland and that didn't work out. And then while I was up there, it was the beginning of last year, I ended up coming down with a case of Aspergillus pneumonia. And I spent 2 weeks in intensive care. I almost died. My heart stopped. And when I came out of it all, I figured that there must be some reason that I was kept around. And in talking with Troy one day on the telephone, he says, well, here's an, follow your passion. I said, what? And he says, well, you're in entertainment. Create the event of the millennium. It was just an off the wall statement that he made. And I thought, well, you brought up Woodstock. They set the bar really, really high. Everybody knows about Woodstock. But in order to do that, the only real way to do that was to take the whole party worldwide. And I sat down with the mind mapping program, and in about, an hour and a half, I came up with the concept of the Global Freedom Fest. And this was, I got every possibility I could think of in there, both in business, in performance, advertising, marketing, everything that I knew. I just master dump on the brain. And showed it to Troy. He liked it. I showed it to my organizer, Jean Marie Palvino, and she loved it. And all of a sudden, she started introducing me to all these people who thought, this is a great idea. My original
concept, right? It just spread like fire.
It is spreading. It needs to spread more. It needs to be like the California wildfires. It needs to grow. But people started coming together, and we're just pushing forward. And the more questions I answer about it, the more pop up, more details that have to be done. And fortunately, Troy has been helping me with law, the legal as well. We don't deal in legal, we deal in law.
Well, let's go ahead and pull Troy in. Troy, nice to meet you as well, and I'd like to just introduce you to the rest of the world. How are you playing a role in this Global Freedom Fest?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here today.
You're welcome.
I think the world of your work, just so you know, okay, for the record. I'm sorry, where do I start?
I was just curious, what is your role that you're playing within Global Freedom Fest?
I would have to say, in short, technical support and legal versus lawful, and the other way around, guidance, let's say. Yeah.
So, you know, I noticed that one of the cool approaches to this is that you are not going to include any investors that are affiliated with any government agencies or anything like that. Could you kind of talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, when we think about our world and the way it operates, we have a situation in this country where we're supposed to have what's called law of the land jurisdiction, and that's per the Constitution and the Bill of Rights for our public servants. And we, the people, are free from those codes, rules, regulations, ordinances, and statutes through our Declaration of Independence. So when we formed this country, what we were trying to get away from is basically corporate rule of these incorporated entities. So when we talk about what's going on in the world today, we have two systems. We have a system of law, and we have a system of legal. There's two kinds of persons in this world. One's called a natural living person, and that's a people. And the other one is called an artificial person, and that's an incorporated entity. The problems we're facing in this world today is that we, the people, are being subject to artificial persons and their whim. And the problem with that is that incorporated entities are a group of people. So when you put an artificial person against a natural living person, it's always a situation of one against many. And that's a huge problem for we, the people. So what we've decided that we need to do here is to work with people and not artificial persons. Because if we work together as people, we're people on the land in this country and people on the land everywhere. And those are natural living people. And we need to be able to work under the framework of the law without regard for the legal system, because the legal system isn't law. It's codes, rules, regulations, ordinances, policies, statutes, that kind of stuff. And that has no bearing on a man or a woman or a child except through their consent. So we just want to eliminate the gang pressing or press ganging and the gang stalking that occurs when a group of people under a legal person come together and fight against a natural living man, woman, or child. And basically just beat them up by subjecting them to their policies of that incorporated entity. We're not going there. And so we don't want to deal with investors because they do the same thing. All of their effort, when you're talking about money, is in service to a fiction called money and another fiction called an agent. And the fiction they work for called the agency, and we're all serving these fictions, these ideologies that don't benefit mankind, the men, women, and children of this planet. So we're just stepping away from their legal system, and we can't really do business with people if we're bound to things like the Uniform Commercial Code or Admiralty Maritime Law jurisdiction, which all of our courts in this country have. It's all under law of the sea. We're not supposed to have that. That's for artificial persons and companies, incorporated entities, not people. So that's, you know, about as short as I can make.
No, that was excellent. And this is one of the reasons I'm so behind this cause. It is really a cause in many ways, even though it's a festival for 1 week, I might add. But it's because they're really putting thought from the root of the problem, which is we still consider ourselves as subjugates. We still see ourselves not as individual, sovereign people who are individuals in our own unalienable rights, right? So now, how are you, I think this is a Troy question, how are you handling the funding right now, Troy? This is one really cool thing. I love the way you guys are just laying this out black and white.
Sure. Well, what we're doing is we're in the process now of establishing a people's public trust as opposed to an incorporated private trust. And once we have that in place, we'll have what we need to be able to step outside of UCC law and Admiralty Maritime and military codes and all that bull and get down to the law. And so we need to establish a trust that is unincorporated, okay, so that we can come together with people working together under a, let's call it a private sovereign charter, the beneficiaries as well as the grantors being we the people.
Perfect. Okay?
So what we need to do is get this trust set up, which we're working on avidly. There isn't this kind of trust that's ever been done before. All of them serve UCC and Admiralty Maritime Law and codes and rules and regulations and all that stuff. So we have to get our charter together and establish a true people's public trust. And then we need to use the incoming funds from each and every person that wants to basically pre-order for the event and get their stuff that they're supposed to get before the event, like their t-shirt. That's part of what we give them as a instant gratification, let's call it, for having to wait for the gig to happen in 2018. So once we get that system in place, which is a combination of a technological infrastructure attached to a trust account, then we're going to have to deal with banks or a bank, and we're trying to set that up right now, that is truly unincorporated, so that we can convert the instruments that are in use today, like the US dollar or the yuan or whatever the currency type is, convert that into a actual asset-backed instrument like gold or silver or whatnot. Then at some point we will be issuing our own currency, okay? It'll be basically a global freedom dollar kind of thing. Okay.
Awesome.
And it'll be backed by an actual real asset instead of ideas and error.
And so the Global Freedom Fest dollars, will they be kind of like a credit system where they can, how are you seeing?
No, it'll be a tangible instrument. It will be. We're trying to work out who we're going to end up working with. We've got a couple of options that exist, and one we're actually thinking about pushing towards creating. So it's really, all we need is a way to take value that comes in of a controlled instrument from some incorporated entity. And believe me, even the United States Treasury is incorporated. That's a problem, you know.
Very, so we need to get away from that.
Huh? Yeah. So we need to get away from that incorporated status and create our own instrument, and then just swap out the dollars by going down to the nearest incorporated bank and trading it out in an instrument like silver or gold value, and then taking that and putting it into our trust, the public trust, so that we can issue either the instruments that we're looking at and considering that exist, or just start with a brand new instrument. So we don't want to work with credit at all. People think of that as an intangible, and we want to offer tangibles, whether it's a show, you know, to come to and experience, you know, food and entertainment and things with others, or what have you. So,
and so, you know, this can you guys understand? Oops, sorry. Can you understand the importance of the way in which Stash and Troy are setting up the foundation of this festival? Is that it's really setting a whole new precedence for other venues, other entertainment sections that will look at that and say, hey, wow, they've got a great idea here. You know, this is truly the way of the future, folks. Mm-hmm. And when I read it, I just was like, I have to do this. The other thing I felt very strongly about was the portable, tangible wealth. And if you study up on anything to do with money, granted, we all ultimately want to be out of the money system, but right now we're still functioning within it. We still have to pay our rent, our groceries, our gasoline with money. But this is, in my opinion, a great bridge to really opening up people's eyes. People that don't have a clue about this, they're going to go in and listen to music and see all this cool stuff regarding the arts and culture, and really connecting with like-minded people, where there's, the whole point is about sharing our sovereign life and love and peace and cohabitation and unification of all cultures across the world. This is just incredible. Anything that anyone can do to assist these folks, I really highly recommend it.
You know, there's another side to this that we, you know, that I really want to get pointed out. One of the largest tools that the governments of this world use are labels, division, fear, whatever, you know. I was born culturally colorblind. I don't care if you're black, white, yellow, green, purple, blue, whatever. It doesn't matter. And, you know, I don't care what your religious background is. I don't care what your sexual preferences are. Those don't matter to me personally. What matters is how you treat me and how I treat you in return. The concept of this is to get a wide variety of people of all ethnic, religious, racial backgrounds together as the one true tribe on this planet. And there is only one tribe, and that is the tribe of man. And no matter whatever you believe, you are still a member of the tribe of man. And just about every indigenous culture on the planet has a prophecy of related to the rainbow warriors. This is where all people from the four corners of the earth come together to teach all of the people how to live with each other, live with the land, in the native cultures, to return to the way of the Great Spirit. this is the way we're supposed to be. We're held back by competition rather than cooperation and mutual respect. And in the governments keep technological advances away from us because they don't want us to have that kind of power. This is another side to the festival, bringing new technologies and old things like, you know, permaculture, sustainable farming. Hopefully the sum total of human knowledge and endeavors, you know, that can come together and work together for all of us, not just a specific group of greedy, wealthy corporate executives or greedy politicians who are run by those same greedy corporate executives and the banks. We're all born free. That's the bottom line. We're all born free. But through life, we're coerced. We're forced into duress. We're propagandized all over. I want people to get together for a week and have a giant party and actually get to know each other. And we do this through, my original idea was to have two huge events on each continent so that, you know, one on either side of the continent so somebody could get there from either side. But it's the way it's turning out, it doesn't necessarily have to be big events. We had mentioned Andy Peacher. He's working on the Global Freedom Fest Scotland. They're working very hard at putting on one of our events in Scotland. It's not going to draw a million people, maybe, but it will be those people there getting together, and then we take it all and we stream it over the internet, all of the events, so that everybody in the world can participate anywhere in the world. Today I want to see the festival in Germany. Tomorrow I want to see the festival in India. Today there's a star I want to see in the United States. But not only to bring this to the public through the internet, but to fully and totally document it from day one so that we can teach other people how to do this. And we can show people what we did, just like the movie Woodstock. It showed things that went into putting it together, from construction to tear down, how it all came together. Yes. And
it's definitely a historical event. And to add a couple of points to what you said, I mean, number one, if you're live streaming this, basically all of the people around the world that are listening to this interview, you can plan your event at your house or your location or your city or whatever and have a party around it in your local area and be literally virtually experiencing this big global fest party.
And sharing what you're doing with the rest of the world too.
Right. I mean, really participating, because we all, you know, another comment that you made was really getting to know each other. If I don't hear it once, I hear it a million times from clients, emails, people that I speak to around the world. It is unprecedented how badly we want to connect with one another. On the physical, it's not even just on the internet. We're getting to a point we want to be able to connect. Doesn't matter, like you said, culture, country, religion, skin color, background, it doesn't matter. And the other thing I would add is, as long as you're not hurting another, and as long as you're not hurting the planet, and as long as you're not hurting our beloved animals and our trees and our nature kingdom.
That is the idea of how we operate, is under natural law. And basically there are only two rules for natural law, which is do no harm and allow no harm to be done. That's that. I have no enemies in the world. And in fact, I have friends who are Jewish, friends who are Muslim, friends who are black, white, yellow. I have friends, people I have taken the time to get to know as people, as living, thinking, breathing human beings. And this is what we all are, but we're brainwashed. We're just brainwashed. These things that they put us again, I was in the Navy during Vietnam, and one thing I noticed, I never saw hordes of Vietnamese rice farmers storming the coast of California to take over the United States. All wars are bankers' wars. That's the bottom line. They're started so the bankers can profit. They fund both sides. No matter who wins, the bankers win. Well, in my own opinion, war should be outlawed, and anyone who wants to start a war should be either locked away for life, or if that doesn't do the job, they should be removed from the planet, actually. We don't need that. Buckminster Fuller did a study many years ago, and he wrote it up in his book, Critical Path, that this planet can comfortably support 15 billion people. And right now, if we took all of the resources of the planet, spread them out equally, we would all be multimillionaires. We would never want for anything. But the powers that be, or that are soon not to be, thank you.
Powers that were.
Yes. Well, they still are temporarily.
They're really losing ground.
We're going to keep working until they do.
We're working with groups that are working at eliminating that. Some fantastic people, continental judges, U.S. continental marshals. Troy is a superior court justice.
Right on.
And one thing we talk about all the time is the law and their legal system and how we help people. Troy's got a thing today to help a friend get past legal problems that are screwing up his whole life, and his mother is dying, and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have the power of attorney. He doesn't have authority to help these people. The whole idea is to help and learn and grow. These are the Americans have been lulled into this false sense of security. They're in this comfort zone.
Little did they know how much more comfort they could have.
Right.
They just stepped into their own individuality and recognized who they really are.
And step away from those. Yes, there is the fear. If I do this, I'll lose my job. Then how do I pay my rent? How do I feed my kids?
But what if we all do it at the same time?
Then we learn to work together and take care of each other. This is the idea of community. And Troy and I are in a beautiful little community here in Oregon. It's small. We walk down the street. People say hello, wave, talk. People help each other. This is what we need on a global basis. People need to have this attitude, and this was the reason for the festival. Let's get together and party and have a good time and realize that we can coexist, that we can help each other. You could turn to the next person right next to you and say, what can I do to help? And if they have a problem and you're able, you help. This is what I've done all my life. I've helped people as much to the limit of my abilities. You know, if I am able, I will help. And that's exactly what I tell them.
And you know what? This is what we were created to do. Mm-hmm. Help one another. It's not a difficult task. The only reason that we tend to not help one another is because we're so full of fear that we ourselves are going to lose something or we're going to get in trouble somehow. And once again, it's that master-slave mentality that we really ultimately as a globe, as a world, as a planet need to break free from. And how better to do this than to do it as a conglomerate of all the we the people? You know, I want to say something else. I'll never forget going to a Who concert. And the Who was, in my opinion, probably one of the best concerts I'd ever been to. I've been to a lot of concerts back in those days. And I remember at one point in the concert, everyone turned on their lighters. They all flicked their lighters. You could feel the energy in that Coliseum. And it started moving. And this is before I even had the awareness I do today. And by the time we got finished with that concert, we were so high, not on drugs, but on that feeling of sharing, this excitement, this overwhelming cooperative feeling that we had hanging out with one another, because everybody was in it. Their energies were contributing to it as a whole. And this is what we're missing. We're missing that. Mm-hmm. We get to see that and feel that a lot.
It comes down to, it's in our world, it comes down to, it's you or me. It can't be both. It's you or me. You lose, I win. Or you win, I lose. No. If we work together and create that atmosphere you're talking about as a standard way of thinking, we have to somehow breed greed out of the human spirit.
I like that.
This is one of the biggest killers I have found. I personally don't understand greed. I've never been rich. I don't need any more than I need to have a place to live and have food in my stomach and clothes on my back, maybe go out once in a while. I don't need billions of dollars sitting in a bank doing nothing, because then it's just useless. It's not currency. It's not in flow. But
I just got to throw one thing in there. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think it was Tony Robbins. I think a lot of people know who Tony Robbins is. Mm-hmm. He did a study on the wealthy. And he did a study on his own life as he started getting more popular and more successful on money. And what did it take to be in a state of wealth? Guess how much it was? He realized that after he paid bills and this and that and the other, he only needed about $300,000 a year to survive. And that was including his business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just saying, to live in a total state of luxury, it was only $300,000.
Well, now you see, I've never been rich. Okay. I've never had a plethora of money in my life, but I consider myself to be one of the wealthiest people I know, because I have friends like Troy and many, many others. I have huge extended family. I have food in my belly. I have a warm place to sleep at night. I have a car if I want to go somewhere. I have more than a lot of the people in the world have, a majority of the people in the world have. I am extremely wealthy. I have this lovely lady in my life that I avoided love after three marriages, you know, a long time. I became got into a committed relationship with my career as an entertainer. And then one day this little lady who is the antithesis of who I am, I'm 6'8", I'm big, I'm boisterous. She's, you know, about 5'4", quiet. She's got a mind you wouldn't believe. And we talk and we share and we don't argue. So in that sense, in love, I'm a king. I'm sure. Richer than a king with a full treasury.
Sure.
And I have my friends like Troy here. You know, like I say, we've been best friends for 40 years. We met doing a show at a, you know, he was a teenager still. But we just sort of hit it off. And ever since then, you know, we just, we can sit down and talk. We can argue and disagree. We can, you know, laugh and joke. We can, but we remain friends because we respect each other as people, as living human beings. I have my foibles, my idiosyncrasies, my quirks, you know, whatever. We all do.
But Stash, you're going to be, you and Troy are energetically rooting this event. Find that stability and that commitment to one another. Do you get that? I mean, you are literally going to hold that commitment and that structure and that strength of this festival because of that amazing.
Along with our friend Jean Marie, who I really wish was here. Jean Marie is a fantastic
player. You can pull her on later. But, you know, the other thing I wanted to do was talk a little bit about the way in which you're going to set up the festival. I think this is fascinating for other people. I noticed it looked immediately like pictures I've seen of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you talk a little bit about how you came about that idea and why?
Well, it's circles within circles within circles. Having done a lot of shows, I've seen the inefficiencies of the way some people set up things, and basically what I want to do is in the center circle, I want to have the big performance area with a stage on one side, fill it up with, you know, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 1,000,000 people, depending on the size of the area. Around that, have vendors and demonstrations of, well, mostly vendors selling organic food and natural products, things that are earth-friendly and human-friendly. Outside of that, my idea was theme areas for things like creating a sustainable year-round operational organic farm, demonstrating zero point and alternative energies, technologies in another theme area. You can have cultural areas. You can, and this is the thing about this too, is that this is not just music and art. This is technology. It's culture. It's and the whole human experience in these circles. And then, of course, around all the theme areas, we have camping for people who are going to be there for a week. And then all the parking and everything is done around the outer perimeter, so we have no vehicles other than operational venue vehicles, like golf carts running supplies here and there, chauffeuring artists to the stages. Even each theme area can have its own stage and can stream it. But it allows people to express themselves as they are and who they are and show other people that, look, I'm not here to hurt you. This is just what I believe, okay? You don't have to believe the way I do, but here's who I am. I'll bare my soul to you right here, whether it's out in the middle of this big performance area and you know, there's a song, I wrote some song lyrics that are on our blog page, but, you know, I see Buddhists and Christians and Jews and look, there's Rastas and a shaman too, you know. Everybody is involved because we only have one little tiny dust ball out in the middle of this vast expanse of nothingness that we all have to share. And it's better if we all work to take care of it and work together as one.
And Stash, in order for us to continue down that path, we better open our eyes as a global community, and I mean fast.
Because and our hearts.
Because this planet needs our assistance very urgently. very exactly. And not just pockets. We need literally global attention to GMO, fracking. What was the other thing I was going to say? Chemtrails, fluoride in the water, poisoning from chemical plants and manufacturing plants dumping into all of our water reservoirs. I mean, it's on and on and on. There is so much to do, folks. Find your passion of what you want to help. And this is a great way to do it because you will be able to have this is an outlet for you to represent that which you are passionate about. And they don't have any particulars on that, right? I mean, basically the person, if they show up with their ideas and they it's natural and it's organic or it's assisting the planet or it's healing, you know, the more the merrier.
There is one thing that you mentioned, though, that I will find an exception for, and that's fracking. There's one place I would love to see fracking.
What?
I'd love to see them frack all the way around Washington, D.C. and fall into a sinkhole. That's the one, and the city of London, same thing.
And do all the fracking you want. Yeah, those are the three biggies.
Yes, the three independent nation states that think they own the world.
So, hey, question for either one of you, whoever wants to, canvas this question. Tell me a little bit about what type of land are you looking for? And folks, by the way, they are looking for assistance in where they can throw this amazing festival. So tell us a little bit about what are the stipulations? What are you looking for?
We're looking for open space that has access from the outside. It has access to a water source. And one of the things I started out with, and I still would like to see, is I was talking with the Native Americans because I would love to see these happen on Native sovereign land that is not under the influence of the U.S. government, the U.K. government, any government, except maybe the tribal councils and the elders of the tribes, because those are more reasonable people than our politicians. You know, it's easier to talk logic and common sense with a tribal elder who's been around than it is a politician who's running on his pocketbook. But we want to improve the land. Unlike Woodstock, we want to put in plumbing systems so that you don't have to walk a half a mile to get a drink of water or walk a half a mile just to use a porta potty somewhere. You know, we want to improve the land that way, bring in a free energy source to power the event and then leave it there for the community. That for year round, start that organic farm that runs year round and people can come and learn sustainable farming, learn sustainable living.
So great.
One of the biggest problems I found here in Oregon, and it drives me nuts because it's absolute rape, is the idea of clear cutting. Forests, they go in and wipe out everything. Yeah. I presented a proposal to our senator, who took a little bit of it, but basically on selective harvesting and forest stewardship. You know, in the old days, if a forest needed burning, nature would burn it and the natives would let it burn. They just move out of the way while it took care of itself. It has to. There are seeds that don't germinate if they're not burned. In LA, it's chaparral country. That basically, in nature, would burn every 7 to 11 years. Just wipe it out and start over again. But it has to be sustainable. And there's no need for us to do all this lumber harvesting. We have hempcrete, hemp can save this planet, actually.
Which
I'm making a distinction here because I feel cannabis, the cannabis plant is the most benign on the planet, because there are 50,000 uses, from medicine to textiles to construction materials to everything. You can 3D print a hempcrete house, and it, yeah, after maybe 100 years or so, it'll biodegrade. But we have to get away from this idea of burning fossil fuels, of raping the land, of, you know, just destroying our environment and our world. I mean, the world's going to go on long after we're gone. You know, we're not here to save the world. The world doesn't care. The world's going to go on. But what we have to do is save ourselves. And in order to do that, we have to work with each other and with the planet. And that's the whole goal of this thing, is to bring us all together so we can learn how to do this.
Yeah, it's like a big step, you know. We're like newbies at this.
It's a paradigm shift.
Yeah, it's a huge paradigm shift. And the fact that, you know, us all coming together just to hang out, all different kinds of music. You know, one of the main reasons that we stay so segregated is because we feel that comfort, that knowingness of our culture, the way we communicate, the way we dress, the topics that we talk about. But how cool is it to learn about somebody in Syria or somebody over in Korea and find out what their daily life is like? I thrive off of learning about those kinds of things.
Yeah, and one of the things about the music aspect of this, I've gotten some submissions already, you know, people requesting to play. And I've had to turn a couple of them down, because what we're looking for is positive, uplifting, solution-oriented, happy, yeah, music. Yeah. I don't, one group I turned down because their whole website was full of satanic influence. I don't want this in my event. And I say my event, but once I opened it up to other people, well, it is no longer my event.
It's your vision, Stash.
I'm just the founder, okay? That's it. When I run this like I do my shows. When the show is a success, it's everyone's success.
Correct.
If the show is not a success, then I didn't do my job to the fullest of my, because it's my job to think of the 42,000 questions that have to be answered and fulfill them and find people to fulfill them. But when all those people come together and do their job, it's everybody's success. Everybody succeeds, everybody thrives, everybody profits, everybody, you know, it's theirs, it's not mine. I do not want to go down in history as it being my festival. All I did was come up with an idea. That's it. Now it's other people, the people that come to us and help us do this. This is their show. Right. And the performers, it's their show. The people who clean the grounds, it's their show. The vendors, it's their show. For everybody, inventors, whatever, it's yours. It's not mine.
So, Stash, do us a favor. Let everyone know, what sorts of people are you looking for support at this point?
Oh, my God. It's endless. I mean, everything from plumbers and independent contractors to stagehands to groundskeepers to business managers, artist relations experts, marketing specialists, salespeople. It's a veritable plethora. There is on our website an opportunities, festivals opportunities page. And that only begins to cover the people we need. I mean, there are going to be, if we're going to have all these events around the world, there are going to be thousands of people involved just in putting it on.
Yeah.
One of my ideas is if someone shows up at the gate who's absolutely stone cold broke and they have nothing but the tent on their back, you know, set up somewhere, they get a volunteer opportunity, say a card or something, and they come in and they give us 2 hours a day of work, whether it's cleaning the grounds, whether it's if they're capable grunt work, you know, moving equipment, hauling things, doing whatever. And for that 2 hours of work a day, they get a campsite, 3 meals a day, and they get to participate in the event.
Right on.
I want everyone included. I don't want anyone held back because of financial lack.
Yeah. You know? Well, and again, that's the whole energetic thrust of this vision. That's why I love it. I love the fact that Troy is so well-versed in monetary truths, I should say, and actually setting this up properly where it's outside the jurisdiction of the government. Ultimately, in order for us to find land that is completely 100% out of that realm is a bit chancy. It's a bit challenging. Even within the indigenous community, they'll admit to you that they themselves are still having to contend with governmental intrusion. But with that said, the indigenous community, if you're listening to this, we would love to honor you. Because you haven't gotten enough of it, and there's such an awakening to us desiring to do that and go back to our roots and understand where we came from, and that ultimately that connects all of us, because as one of my last interviewees said, we still all bleed the same blood, period.
Another thought on the land too is that when we get the trust set up, if we find a piece of land that's ideal, the trust can purchase it and get allodial title.
Oh, perfect.
And if you have allodial title, you're not subject to any government, any regulations, we can do what we please. And, you know, that gives us access to this land for the whole year, not just for the Global Freedom Fest, but for other events, for that farm, for demonstrations of alternative energy, for, you know, it makes it available to the public. And that's the main thing. It is a publicly funded trust. The public is the beneficiaries. The trust assets, the land, belong to the public. They have access to it, use of it, as long as they take care of it, you know, and restore it to what it was before. They should leave no footprint.
I love the fact that you said we're going to leave this land better than when we got there. That's number one. And number two, if you do indeed accomplish this, which I really believe you will, you will not be within the guise of potential, you know, police forces and so on showing up on this land. So how will you handle the security part of this?
That was one of my first thoughts. We will have our own security people. They will be unarmed. There will be no weapons on this, in any of these events. And they will monitor 24 hours a day. And at the first sign of any kind of violence whatsoever, it's a zero tolerance. You know, if you start trouble at our event, you are gone. Out, done, no second chance, period. That's it. We'll handle it. And for instance, handling, putting it on indigenous land, the land that's around the event area, we hire the tribal members to secure their own land, to protect their land. And we even help them. We hire them to come keep the crowd safe. You know, we don't want belligerent police types. We want people who have some common sense isn't these days, but people who have common sense and are not out to prove anything. They're just out to maintain order. so that we can all have a good time. That's, you know, and if people get together and really start to understand each other, there won't be violence. There'll be no need for violence, you know. Sure, I can move my tent over 3 more feet so there's room for yours. It's easy, you know. We don't have to have a territorial war here. And if everybody's there and is fed and is happy and, you know, has a place to sleep and they're comfortable and warm, we're looking at doing this, and my concept is about the third week in September of 2018.
That's what I was going to ask you next.
Because the planet is, well, the northern hemisphere is in early fall. The southern hemisphere is in spring. And these are meant to be outdoor events.
Yeah.
So we have somewhat of a balance there, where the weather is good in both halves of the world. And people can come outside and share the few things that we all share immediately, the land, the air, the sky, you know, each other. We all share these things, and if we do it in a good spirit, you know, with good intention, then this is how we do the paradigm shift, because it works.
Yes, it does. And I think that the fact that you're handling the funds transparently, the fact that you're going to access land, not only honoring whoever owns it, whoever is overseeing it, and doing it in a manner which we're not going to be intruded upon, that's huge. And the fact that we're opening this up to the future of what we must face, which is alternative fuels, alternative energies, having free energy, which has been accessible for hundreds of years, if not thousands. We just have to dig deep to find that truth.
Tesla proved it 100 years ago.
Tesla was my man.
No, I love Tesla.
Respect that man. You know, and the fact that we have to start reconnecting with the earth, understanding that we eat what is grown off of the earth.
we are the earth.
We are the, yeah, I was going to get to that, you know, and we share it with animals. I mean, it's just this whole new concept of sharing, cohabitating, cooperating, loving one another, really doing this from all of those leaders that have been before us that have spoken about love one another as you would have them, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
So, no, it's that's the importance of are not choosing to work with incorporated entities. You know, when we talk about artificial persons, there's no way that an ideology that serves some special interest is going to be serving me, the people. There's just no way. And so to make this event about people, we have to be acting and functioning in our natural person state without regard for the artificial person, because the artificial person can never have any caring or love or compassion for the living. It's an idea. And so, yeah, that's,
and you can't really truly punish an artificial part of fiction.
Exactly.
You can't hold them accountable. The people in it, now if you do it right, you can hold the individual people within that artificial entity accountable. But when they all of a sudden say, well, we're part of this corporation, you can't touch us because it's the corporation that did it. Well, no, it's the individual people that did it. And we have to deal person to person, man to woman to child, man, you know, we have to also get back to an alien concept here in America, which is personal responsibility. Responsible for your own actions. If I screw up, I take full blame. If I succeed, I take credit, but I did it, you know, and if I hurt someone, then it's my job to make it right. And this is what we all
have. It's called growing up.
Yes.
It's just we're growing up. We're getting kicked in the booty to grow up.
And I just found out yesterday that things are going to speed up even more, because if anyone's familiar with the Schumann resonance, it just topped out over 36 cycles per second, which is, what, let's see, that's almost a 5-6 times increase of what people lived with most of their lives.
Almost 5 times, yeah.
And it's not only the people that are causing it, but it's also the fact that astronomically we are going through something that we went through 56,000 years ago, which is going through the galactic ecliptic, which is one of the most powerful zones in the galaxy. Energy, if you watch an explosion in space, energy goes outward from the center. It doesn't go in a big circle, it goes outwards, and we're in that ecliptic right now. This is the time of change. This is supposed to be the beginning of the golden age.
Yeah.
And it's all of the planets are going through climate change. It's not just the Earth. Man is the most arrogant thing I've ever seen, thinking that we're responsible for climate change. All we're doing is polluting our environment. Climate change is happening on Earth, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, Venus. The sun is even changing because of the energy levels that are being thrown at us from the center of the galaxy.
Every heavenly body is changing. Every physical body is changing. Every animal and plant is changing. And in fact, these energies are ramping up so intensely that...
As a matter of fact, the only universal constant... The only universal constant is change. Everything changes always. Nothing stays the same.
And these energies are going to ramp up every couple of weeks now, and then they're going to ramp up every day. So right now we've been kind of getting a wave, and then we might experience all sorts of physical issues such as insomnia, maybe headaches, body aches, back pain, inability to concentrate, lethargy. These are the classic symptoms of these new energies coming in. But now it's not just going to be a wave. It's going to literally be bam, 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 daily. Mm-hmm. We need to prepare for that. So folks, this Global Freedom Fest is an opportunity for every single one of you, and I don't care what age group you're in, to step back from what is not making you happy and rethink, why don't I feel happy? Most of the time I hear it's because everybody thinks I'm weird, or everybody doesn't agree with my opinions, or I'm treated like I'm a bizarre person and nobody wants to talk to me because I'm so strange. Guess what? There's going to be so many people drawn to this because we all have that in common. Because we all have this idea of being this incredible galactic global community where we accept everyone and everything as long as we don't harm one another, as long as we don't condone war, as long as we don't hurt our animals and our planet. And we start a whole new momentum. I mean, this is big.
Just one quick little hint. And then I found this many years ago. I really don't care what other people think of me. If you don't like me, that's your right. Fine. But don't stand in my face and tell me you don't like me. Go over there somewhere and don't like me from over there. I don't care. Because in the overall scheme of my life, and you'll have to forgive me for this, your opinion carries about the weight of a fart in a hurricane. In the overall scheme of my life, if I don't do guilt, because I believe that if I did something I felt was right to do, and I, you know, it accomplished what I needed to do without hurting anybody, just because you didn't like it and I didn't ask you doesn't mean I have to feel bad about it. I don't. I did the right thing that I felt was the right thing at the right time, and your opinion of it is not my concern. Your opinion is all in your head.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody on the planet would disagree that the conditions that we live in today in this world are unreal. And yes. It's the opinions that become facts because I said so. I mean, no, we need to get real and stop, you know, playing into this. We need to converse instead of find a common union and actually communicate. I mean, everybody on the planet seems to be competing and conversing. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about conversation, we're talking about an act with an intent to change somebody else's viewpoint. That's what we call government. What we're looking for in this world is self-governance. And government needs to go bye-bye. Government always boils down to a special interest group imposing their will upon the masses through coercion, through threat, through intimidation, through forcible action. That needs to go bye-bye. We need to get real, and I think that what GFF is going to be pushing for, let's say, is to find the people out there who want to be real and let all of these unreal things that are causing them all this grief go, because they need to go. That's right. All I got to say.
That's right. And the fact that we need to get off of our knees accepting such incredibly ridiculous rules and policies and governmental oppression, but do it in a mature and mastered way, not in a way that is with violence or with acute accusations towards another race or creed or color. We need to grow up. And this is an awesome opportunity for us to really prove to ourselves we can do this. We can be one as one continent, one people, one voice. And now, with that said, we're almost done, but I'd like to know, how can people contact you if they're interested in helping you and volunteering their time and their talents?
Well, the first thing, I have tried to include as much information as possible on our website, which is globalfreedomfest.earth. I had to have that domain name. It was so timely. But if they find something on there that resonates with them, there is an email, info@globalfreedomfest.earth. Or if they feel that they really have something huge to offer, they can contact me directly at stash@globalfreedomfest.earth. But the main thing right away is just to look at the website and see where we're trying to go. And if you have thoughts about how we can improve something we can do differently, how we can accomplish something we want to accomplish, contact us by all means. I mean, we answer people. We want people in. We want to talk to people. I need help with, if we start getting lots of email, I'll need somebody to just to deal with the email.
Sure.
Especially on something this scale. I need a global marketing specialist to handle, those marketing people in various parts of the world. I need artist management people so that they can handle the booking in Timbuktu if there's an event there, because I'm not there. But I need a person to consolidate all these people. I need experts. We need willing people who will eventually, when the trust is formed and there are trust funds, people will be paid. As an entertainer, I have had to give my talent away way too much in my life. And I'm tired of, paying to play or playing for free. We want people to be able to reap something from this. There will be no millionaires, no billionaires made out of this event. None of us are going to take, the board of executors will get a fixed salary, period. All of the stagehands worldwide will get the same salary. It is an equal thing. Everybody gets something out of this. Even if you're a volunteer, you get a place to sleep, three meals a day, and a great show, a great party. You know, everybody gets something out of this.
Well, and the exposure. I mean, Stash, just the exposure alone, there's so many people out there with such brilliance and amazing ideas and products and services, and they mm-hmm. don't even have the money to be able to advertise themselves, nor do they even have the wherewithal to get involved on the internet. They you know, right. still something that a lot of people really don't want to dive into. And what better way than to be with a bunch of like-minded people to just kind of stick your neck out and get yourself started. This truly is, in my opinion, it's a piece of launching our new renaissance. It really is. And hopefully setting a prototype for many more events to come throughout the world and beyond. So sure. I really want to thank both of you for what an amazing vision.
Thank you.
I already know a lot of work has already gone into this. And I, you know, Galactic Connection will do whatever they can to support you as far as the advertising piece of it. And I would really call out to all of you to go into your hearts, see what it is that you feel compelled to reach out to these folks and get this going. Because even if we could get it sooner than 2018, it's just such a monumental undertaking. But if we were able to get really rock solid, do what you say and say what you do kind of folks, we could get this off the ground sooner rather than later. And that's what I'd like to see. I think they're very open to that, but you know, they're both looking at, oh my God, you know, 42,000 different line items and how many people do I have to help me? So let's prove them wrong that it doesn't have to wait till September of 2018. Let's make this happen and wrap this party, this festival, around this whole ascension process that we're going through. How cool would that be? Awesome.
So, Andrew, by the way, one of the questions on our fact page is going to be, you know, what does it take to be an ally of the global free? You just became an ally, and that will reflect back through our system too. Those people that work with us will get the recognition that they deserve.
Well, I'm not just doing it for that. I'm doing it.
Well, I know, but I know why. I know your motivations.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that those who do come into this with the right attitude and do a service and whatever, become allies and get the recognition. One of my favorite things is imagine you've got a rising star in the music business, right? And they're basically broke. Now imagine being able to perform at an event with a potential 7+ billion audience. Just the marketing value in that alone is monumental. You know, here you're going to play for 7 billion people who could buy your record. Wow!
I know. The exposure alone is incredible. And again, I want to remind you, check it out. It's www.globalfreedomfest.earth. And here's again some of the things they're looking for: production manager, marketing manager, advertising manager, media director, sales manager, artist relations manager, venue organizer, vendor coordinator, IT director, security manager. Okay, these are just some of the areas that they need assistance. Mm-hmm. Let's make this happen. Let's blow ourselves away with how well we work together and make this happen on a global scale. I'm excited.
This just made my day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Troy, for all your knowledge and bringing this forward to the world. So that the exposure, again, remember, this is education. When we set this thing up, picture each one of these people having a booth that they can educate people on all of the types of things that the enlightened community is very aware of, and that we want to share so much so with all of those that are just learning, just peeking out into the truth-seeking community. So thank you, everyone. And thank you again, Stash and Troy. Blessings. And as always, continue to check out galacticconnection.com. We have a blog 365 days a year with a newsletter. We put out at least 25 posts a day trying to, basically review and get a pulse of what's going on in the world regarding ufology, spirituality, conspiracy, new energies, archaeology, ancient history, you name it. We really try to find what's, the intriguing information, going through literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles and posts per day and really vetting it out, trying our best to provide you the information so you don't have to go all over the internet to search the stuff out. So check us out. As always, we love you from our heart to yours. Take care and have a wonderful rest of the week.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.